Welcome to PhoenixCast, a podcast about cybersecurity, technology, and innovation issues in the military. I am Kyle Moschetto, and I will be your one and only host today. The opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host. They are not official military policy, nor are they the policy of my employer or any other business that I am associated with. So first off, everybody, today's episode is going to be much shorter than normal for a variety of reasons. First, as I mentioned in the intro, it's just going to be me today. Rich has been pulled into something that he described as super duper top secret, even though that probably just means he needed to clean the garage. And John is a bit under the weather, and we're giving him the day off. Honestly, that guy works extremely hard to keep this podcast up and running, and anything I can do to lower his general burden in life is plus plus for me. So since it's a short episode, we're going to spend it talking about one and only one topic today. As many of you might have heard, the extremely small and relatively unknown social media website Twitter was hacked this week. We're going to dive a little bit into what we know right now and what we as security professionals can potentially learn from it with the limited amount of information that we actually have on the topic. Now, I'm recording this on Sunday, July 19th at approximately 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. So if something comes out anytime after this fact that completely blows everything I'm about to say out of the water, just roll with it and realize that we're speculating and making a ton of conjecture around information that we know right this minute. Also, please vet your sources out there. There's a lot of weird information on the internet, if you didn't already know that, and I want you to do the research to understand who you're listening to on these topics and what you're talking about when you start talking about these things. I specifically use the statements directly from Twitter, as well as some statements from a few other different security blogs and trusted websites that I've used in the past that I know are legitimate, to compile all the information that I'm going to speculate on in this podcast today. And so you know the information that you use is only as good as the source, so vet your sources, people. All right, let's dive in. Here is what we know. On Wednesday, July 15th, attackers targeted certain Twitter employees through a social engineering scheme. This caused the compromise of up to 130 accounts, including former President Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and tons more. Yes, even Kanye got hit by this, everybody. The attackers initiated password reset on approximately 45 accounts and were able to download all of the Twitter data on 8 specific accounts. No mention of which famous people's accounts were included in the 45 or the 8 there, but just that's the numbers we've got from Twitter. And then these attackers tweeted asking for Bitcoin donations. And according to a couple reports that are out there, there's around 500 confirmed donations that happened to those accounts. So, you know, they made out with a not insignificant amount of money. So that's the situation. Let's pull this apart a little bit. Twitter is not sharing too much at the moment, which totally makes sense. They have a suspected data breach that involves former presidents and many famous people. You can be sure that the FBI and probably many other 3- and 4-letter agencies are all involved in this. So the rapid release of information will probably not happen, to be expected in this sort of scenario. The second is that this used an internal administrative tool at Twitter. So if you're not used to running a large-scale SaaS application, companies that provide this sort of data, you know, you as the customer use a specific interface to log in, but behind the scenes, there's a much more verbose and featureful set of administrative tools for doing things like when, you know, a person with millions and millions of Twitter followers forgets their password, needs a password reset, you're going to need some tool to help them with that. And all of your customer service folks will use that, et cetera, et cetera. And the sort of flip side to this is that that tool is the keys to the kingdom. And because of that, it usually has a very robust set of security requirements. So, you know, multi-factor authentication, some sort of geolocation for tagging, tons and tons of logging and monitoring, et cetera. But it's important to understand that because this is the internal tool used to administer accounts, you know, all of the things that you normally use for, you know, your security, like I use multi-factor authentication everywhere. Well, if you have access to the internal tool, you can just turn multi-factor authentication off and manually initiate a password reset, change the email address associated with the account. Like, you own the account. And, you know, even though all the actions are logged, and we're going to get to, you know, some of the things that maybe happen here, it's still something where there's nothing holding you back at that point. At that point, you have all the power to do anything you want. So the current information that we know, or some of the conjecture that others are making, is that this was basically a couple of teenagers. And, you know, I hate to say that because it feels like such a stereotype, like a bunch of teenagers in their basement hacking away at Twitter. But generally, given the impact, you know, donate to my Bitcoin account, I think Occam's razor might be in effect here. This does kind of make sense from this, probably the most likely solution. And we're going to get to, you know, how this could have been so much worse here in a second. But let's get to the kind of big question that I have is, how could this have happened, right? Like, the scale of Twitter is probably greater for almost anyone listening to this podcast of any system you've ever worked on. You know, they're going to have hundreds of administrators, lots of people whose sole job is to, you know, prevent stuff like this from happening. You know, an admin tool usually has things like geo limitation or network limitation, meaning you can't even access it unless you're either in the corporate office or VPN'd into an approved location, which of course requires a username, a password, or a, you know, if you're, for example, using Titan chips in Chromebooks, you know, you have to have an approved device that's registered with corporate and all these things. So there's usually a bunch of ways that you can prevent someone who shouldn't have access from getting access to an admin tool. And here's my big wild conjecture for this one is I'm assuming that maybe something like now that everybody's working from home, there was some restriction or tool that was lifted or some slightly make it easier for people to use this tool thing that was put into effect that might have lowered the bar for security and allowed something like this to happen. But I don't really know. That's the thing I'm most curious about is how would someone actually even get access to this unless they were an actual Twitter employee on a Twitter device with, you know, MFA and all that stuff. Because that's the thing, right? Usually you're going to need a username, a password, MFA, all those things to get in. And that's not super easy to spoof in aggregate, right? Like I can get someone's username and password, or I might be able to intercept an SMS text if I'm pretty sophisticated. But to get all those things, that's a stretch. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this was an inside job made to look like teenagers or something. I don't really know, but just it's weird. And you'd also expect there to be some sort of alerting. We talked about this in our password and a few previous podcasts. But, you know, if you detect that someone has now reset the passwords on 45 accounts, that should flag something immediately in Twitter's admin system that locks that person's account and, you know, immediately flags this to somebody who's on 24/7 on call or something like that. This should have been detected quickly. And I'm not saying that it wasn't because it feels like it was, but it wasn't detected quickly enough to stop 518 Bitcoin donations and, you know, the removal of the content. So was it fast? I don't know. Was it fast enough? Obviously not. And so what does this really teach us as security professionals who design systems and try to prevent things like this from happening on our systems? I think the big takeaway for me right now is to remember, people are still the biggest threat to everything you do in your cybersecurity job, right? Social engineering is just dead simple to execute, and even the smartest people can be taken advantage of in it. And you simply have to expect this type of thing and train against it, right? You have to turn the map around, to use the military term, and you have to, you know, put yourself in the mind of the enemy and say, how would I get in? How would I compromise systems? And, you know, to be 100% effective at fighting compromise, probably unrealistic, but you got to have things in place to know that something's not right. You know, where were the behavior baselines on this? Or are there behavior baselines on this internal admin system? Who knows, right? It could have been something that's overlooked. Are there rate limits to how many changes an administrator can make in a certain amount of time to avoid sort of this programmatic and massive walking of the most popular accounts on Twitter? Is there some form of auto lockdown on detection of a problem? Like, hey, we flagged that, you know, user X over here is doing wildly out of normal scope activities, should we just go ahead and lock that down and follow up with them and say, hey, we noticed that you're doing a bunch of weird stuff. Is that you? And also, like, how much least privilege is in place? Can the person that they get access to just so happen to be the highest level of authority where they could change someone, you know, any Twitter user? It all has, there's so many questions, but you got to think about this and say, what would you do to prevent this in the future? So, you know, if you're going to talk about changing some of the more popular Twitter accounts on the planet's passwords or downloading data from them, maybe you need two people to execute that, you know, like a verifier or a peer reviewer for any actions you're going to take on those sorts of things. I don't think that's unrealistic. No idea if that's in place. I'm not a Twitter employee. I've never built the system, but it's a thing I would want. And that requires you, though, to have a certain litmus test of what is a special case, right? You don't want your frontline help desk personnel to have two people to service every request. That's kind of unrealistic. But, you know, maybe if you've got 10 million or more followers, you need two people to change something on your account. Or if you are a president of a nation, you need more than two people to change a detail about your account. I don't know. But here's the thing I want to get to. We want to hear from you. Kyle is but one person in this big marble we call Earth. And I want to know what you think could have been done, or what's the lessons we can take away from this to prevent these actions in the future. So we really want you to hit us up on social media and let us know your thoughts on either what we blatantly missed here or what you think would be a great thing that you could do or that anyone in the future could do to prevent stuff like this from happening. And I'm just going to, you know, we're going to gently exit from this and say I highly recommend that you pay attention to this over the next few days because it's going to get really interesting. I'm certainly professionally curious to understand what went wrong and what changes Twitter's going to put in place to prevent this from happening in the future because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of hacks that happen out there, but you should really pay attention to this one. And I don't care, you know, where you fall on the political spectrum, but Twitter is a place that a lot of people say a lot of things, and for better or for worse, has a humongous impact on the world, right? Not just the United States, and with politics, economics, the media, blah, blah, blah. So when you see something like this happen, a compromise so blatantly pervasive, you should pay attention, regardless of whether you're in the world of cybersecurity or not. It's a big deal. Because I want you to make no mistake, this could have been so, so much worse. Imagine the impact that could have been had on geopolitics, on military security, on stock markets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, go down every rabbit hole you can think of. The sky is the limit here. And I am so super duper excited that this was limited to some simple make some money off Bitcoin scheme as a threat vector. I hope that all of the hacks I ever have to deal with in my life are only related to Bitcoin mining because it does make life really, really simple. And if you ever want to know what it's like to have to deal with Bitcoin miners, you too can do this. You just go to your favorite cloud provider, launch an unpatched Microsoft Windows server, give it a public IP address, and set your watch for like 25 minutes. I've done this in the real world, intentionally and very, very much unintentionally, and it's always interesting to watch. You know, this could have been way worse. That's all I'm going to say. All right, so that's going to do it for me today. Thanks again for giving us your time, as always. We seriously want to hear your comments on this topic. If you've got any good articles that we should read, some better information, more current knowledge, et cetera, you can find us, as always, on Twitter, at USMC_TF Phoenix. That is Tango Foxtrot, Papa Hotel, Oscar Echo, November, India, X-Ray. Give us a link. Let us know your thoughts and the lessons we can learn from this. I am Kyle Moschetto. You can find me everywhere if you can spell my name. I'll see you all next time on Phoenix Cast.